Hey, welcome to the Dream Home Movement. I'm your host, Jo Violetta, and on this episode of the podcast, we are talking about Seaford, which is my neighbourhood, and we also chat about creating an outdoor room or an outdoor space for your family, which is particularly useful if you've got a smaller home. Tara and I spoke with Shay Bianco, who is also a Seaford local. Now, the show, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that we broadcast live from the RPPFM studios in Mornington, and we broadcast live a few months before we actually release the podcast episode, so the podcast version of the show. But we've got a bit of a backlog at the moment, so this was recorded a while ago back in January, but you know what, we're releasing it now, here it comes. And this was a really fun show. We spoke about Seaford. Now, if you're not familiar with Seaford, it is a beautiful coastal suburb that a lot of people used to just drive straight by on their way to the peninsula, but it's really starting to come into its own. So we spoke about our favourite places to eat in Seaford, our favourite places to shop in Seaford. Now, the reason why I'm telling you what we spoke about is we did have a little bit of technical difficulty on the night, and we had some mic issues. So you are missing from the podcast the first 5 minutes of our chat, of our interview with Shay. But basically what we discussed during those few minutes that you missed, well, there was the intro, and then there was probably about maybe two or three minutes of the interview that I couldn't include in the podcast because of technical difficulties. So I'm so sorry about that. But what we spoke about is the fact that Shay and I have lived in Seaford for about 6 to 7 years. I used to live there as a kid as well, but I moved back there about 7 years ago. And we spoke about where it's located. So it's a couple of kilometres north of Frankston, and Frankston's regarded as the gateway to the peninsula. And it's a beautiful family place to live. Shay and I spoke about why we moved there, and a lot of that had to do with it being so handy for public transport, but also being near the beach. And gosh, I just love living near the beach, and so does Shay. Now, we did mention a Thai restaurant, and it's the Thai Beach Cafe. We did mention that during the interview, and we didn't mention the name of it. And we also mentioned the ice cream shop, and we weren't sure how to spell it, but I was driving past it on my way to the studio tonight, and I'm pretty sure it's spelled U-M-U-O, but I will let you know in the show notes if I haven't got that right. So I really hope that you enjoy this episode. We've got the usual segments as well. We've got the finance segment with Carl, which, because we broadcast the show in January, in December and January, we give Carl a couple of months off and we do a summer series of the finance segment. So we pulled one of his best, most loved segments of the finance segment. So if it sounds familiar, that's why. But hey, do you know what? Even if you have heard it before, I bet you can't remember all of the details. So it's good to hear it again. And we had the property geek out with Tara as well, and she focused on that Seaford area. So yeah, I really do hope that you enjoy this episode, and I'll speak to you soon.
It's slowly coming into its own now. We've got some fantastic restaurants, the beach cafes. Our beach is amazing. We've got 5Ks worth of beach. It's a lot of young families moving in, and it's just the lifestyle in general, I think.
Yeah.
Like being able to go to the beach in your backyard every day, and having the wetlands also.
Yes.
The wetlands are fabulous. There's walking tracks right around it. And to take our little kids, you know, on their bikes.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you've really got everything.
Yeah.
And did you mention that was your first home that you bought?
First home.
Yes.
Yeah, we intended to stay there for 5 years as our starter house, but we love Seaford so much.
Yeah.
We want to stay.
Yeah, we're the same. I love Seaford. It's a great place for first home buyers, or at least it was when you and I bought in Seaford.
Yes, we got in at a good time.
Yeah, when we bought our house, and I'm happy to share this publicly, our home was $360,000.
Yep.
And that was well and truly affordable. And, you know, we were really happy with what we bought. If we had have looked at buying something like that, even just a few suburbs north or even south,
yeah,
it would have been – we wouldn't have been able to get something like that for that price. No, we would have been lucky to get like a unit or a townhouse. So.
That's what we found, absolutely, mm. yeah. And mm. we wanted a house, we wanted the backyard and the transport close and Seaford had just won.
So let's talk about some of the things that we love about Seaford. So
Sure. You've
mentioned the beach cafe. I love the beach cafe. Yeah. It's gorgeous. You've got this amazing view of the beach. There's people kite. What is it called when you're like on the you're
kite
behind
surfing?
The kite,
kite
surfing and they go up in the air?
Yeah.
Is that kite surfing?
Yeah. Kite surfing.
There's people kite surfing. You've got the pier there, mm-hmm. and I'll sit there with my husband Carl and I'll just go, I feel like I'm on holiday. Like,
it does have that
just,
vibe.
Yeah, this yep. is so lovely. But the cool thing about the beach as well, because we go there year round, like it doesn't matter if it's
yes, we do
in the middle of winter, you just put your Mac pack on and rug yep. up and get down there because they have a lot of sandbanks.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes, which is great for the little ones.
There's a couple of fish and chip shops.
Yes.
In Seaford.
They all say they're number one.
They do.
So which number one are you going to go to?
We've got our favourite one.
Yeah, we've got our number one
yep.
as well. But there's two in particular that have both been rated by, I think it's the Herald Sun.
Yes.
As top fish and chip shops in Victoria.
Yep.
Both are number one somehow.
Exactly.
And we've got an awesome Spanish bar.
We do.
Spanish bar is seriously great. And it's actually got a really awesome beer garden at the back.
It does.
Which has a play area for the kids. Bonus.
Yes. And their sangria is
yes.
off the charts. Mm-hmm. You need to walk home.
Yes.
I've got to take you there one night,
well,
Tara.
Well, I've been there.
And
someone else really famous has been there. Not,
yeah.
not saying that
yeah.
I'm really famous, but somebody else really famous
yeah.
has been there.
Corey Hart
yep.
and his wife. I don't know if you've heard of her. Her name's Pink. They were
yeah.
apparently out motorbiking.
Yes.
Because there's quite a few motorbike tracks around
yeah.
sort of the Carrum.
Yeah, so it's a great
area.
Bike track, isn't
yeah,
it, as
yeah,
well?
Yeah,
yeah for so, push bikes as well as motorbikes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm. yeah. So they were out motorbiking somewhere and they were hungry, so they stopped at the Spanish bar and immortalised
yep.
it forever.
Sure did. Yep.
And they've got a chair there that they've labelled Pink's chair.
Yes, yeah, Pink sat here.
And now it's got a little bit busier since. It's like, no.
I know. Well, I know. I was feeling a little bit bad about tonight's show because we kind of wanted to keep
it
Seaford,
quiet.
Yeah, Seaford
yeah.
under
downplay
wraps
it.
a little bit.
It's quiet. Don't go there.
Yeah.
So we've got the beach cafe.
Yep.
We've got the awesome fish and chip shops for more casual dining
yes.
on the beach, which yep. I love. And we've got the Spanish bar. There's a new restaurant that's opened in Seaford called Guildford's.
Mm.
And that's like a Mediterranean restaurant.
Yep. And it's got a beer garden as well.
It does.
I'm all about beer gardens.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Yeah, I like that. I yeah. like that.
Gorgeous beer garden.
Yep.
And it's a florist.
Oh,
also.
Of course, because, you know, you got to buy flowers when you're drunk.
You do. You do have to buy flowers when you're drunk. It makes sense. Like, you
yes.
go to a nightclub, you buy kebabs when you're drunk. You go to
yes.
a Mediterranean restaurant, you buy flowers when you're drunk.
Yes,
of course. That
goes
makes,
hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand. So once you've had a few drinks and your tummy's full, there's some gorgeous boutiques there. Clothing boutiques.
Clothing, yep. Lava Luca. Which is a bohemian clothing store.
Really sort of coastal, beachy.
I try hard to stay
fashion.
Out of because I want to buy everything.
Mm. Oh, the dresses.
Yes, that's a pretty good one. And Yoko Original as well, which is a favourite with
that's
the locals.
That's a nice one. It's really sort
and,
of
yeah, it's well known
clothes.
Across the peninsula as well, that one.
Oh, and there's a new ice. What did you call it
Gelateria.
Today?
Gelateria. It's gelati. If you're into, you know, I mean, there's ice cream and there's gelati and that's gelati.
Yeah.
I would say that is a big draw card. That's bringing people
be.
From
absolutely, because it's
Chelsea.
Gelati.
Yeah.
Because there really hasn't been a really good gelati place near the bay.
Mm. Yeah.
Down this end of the world forever. So, yeah.
I can't pronounce the name of it, though.
Is
it like
Gelissimo or
something?
Oh, U-N-O-U. I don't know how to say that.
So it's not you, no, it's...
Yeah.
We'll have to research
Let us know.
So like emu, but with a U at the...
Yeah. I don't know. You can't miss it, but it, yeah. it stands out. It's right there on the Pean Highway.
There's ice cream.
But it's gelati.
It actually has a great vibe on the weekends too, because they've got the farmer's market once a month on Sunday. It's the third Sunday.
It's a good one.
It's one
of my favourite farmer's markets because it's a little bit more low key. It's not too busy, but the produce is really good.
It is. And they've got a new guy from the Rotary that's just taken it over and he has great plans for it. So it will grow a little bit, but hopefully not too much.
Oh, it's one of my favourite. Yeah.
It's a good one. And there's the creative market that's always on at the same time.
Yeah. But if you venture a little bit away from the main shopping area near the station and you head out to Armstrong's Road, for example, there's a fabulous little cafe there which has a little play area for
Bear
kids.
And Cub.
Bear and Cub, uh-huh. That's it. Yep. Thank you. And I think $2 down from Bear and Cub, there's a new interior design little studio.
I think it's black.
Black and Coin, maybe. Ooh, they've got a pineapple on the door. I'd love to get them on the show if you're listening. Hit us up on Facebook or Instagram because we'd love to get you on the show. Your little shop looks gorgeous. There's just so many hidden treasures. My mum used to own a quilting store in Seaford.
Yes. Oh, really? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she did. I don't know what's there. There's a fabulous Thai restaurant, which I think might be where the quilting shop used to be. It was around there. Now, before we go to the break, we will move on to – this is still related to Seaford because Seaford is an older area and we'll talk more about that in the Property Geek Out. But a lot of the houses, mine and Shay's, for example, is your house three-bedroom?
Three-bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of them are the same layout, same print.
Yeah.
Just duplicated here and there.
Yes. There's a lot of older three-bedroom houses like mine and Shay's that aren't massive houses. They're smaller houses. So you've created an outdoor room.
We have, yes. Mm. I mean, I don't know the technical term. I think you'd call it a patio or pergola. Who knows? we had to. When we bought the house, the actual decking itself and the woodwork, the roofing was up, but we've extended it to add a whole new barbecue area, a kitchenette, and it's really an extension of our house.
Yeah.
We knew we were buying a smaller house.
Yes.
And that was a really big factor, having that outdoor space to use, especially you can even use it in winter. We've got TV out there. We have our dinners out there. It's fantastic and it really is just – another room.
So I think that's a really smart strategy if you're buying a smaller house.
Yeah.
So if you're buying in an established area, because a lot of the time when you're buying in these, you know, lovely beachside areas.
Yep, there's established houses there.
Yep. And they are smaller. So you can extend if you want, or you can knock down and build, or you can add that extra outdoor room. So tell us some of the logistics. So you already had the decking there.
So the decking was already there. So what we did is we have added kind of like a barbecue nook, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And it's just because we already had like we've popped a little kitchenette kind of area in there just to tie it all together, which meant we didn't really have to come inside if we didn't need to.
Yeah.
We shook the basics outside and that was it. And down the end of the patio, we've got quite a large 8-seater dining table.
Oh, wow.
So it really is our dining room. In a way.
Fantastic.
And then it kind of wraps around the back of our house and we've got a driveway that goes right through down to this massive man cave. Which my husband, you walk into our shed and it is immaculate.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. And underneath the pergola it's got my kids call it a stage, but it's like a day bed, basically.
Perfect.
It's built in. And underneath is storage. So originally we had a little sandpit there so the kids could play in any weather.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So we can send the kids out when it's absolutely pouring with rain.
Yeah,
and it's totally enclosed and they can go bananas. And now it's kind of turned into more of an adult, you know, slash pillow kind of storage. And look, we could continue to do so many more things. We've just added some insulation because it got a little bit hot under there as well.
Yeah.
It really needs to be kind of a pit roof, but We've just made it work now to get a bit more airflow in there.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely winning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love that sort of Australian idea of having that sort of outdoor living element, especially when you've got kids, because there's that feeling that when you're outdoors, you don't have to be so precious.
No, yeah. It's like, go outside, kids.
You can paint. You can get the dirt. Yeah. You don't have to take your shoes off. No. You want to bring some mud here, that's all right. That's what this space is for. Mm. Just be you, you know? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, that's a good idea.
Big win.
Big win.
Yeah, I can see them as well, so safety and all that, it's just not a factor. It's just like, go guys, I'm having my cup of coffee.
So if anyone was thinking about building an outdoor room, do you have any tips for them or any sort of pointers around maybe how long it takes, things to be mindful of?
I would definitely be mindful of the airflow. It can get quite hot, and we should have done the pitch roof. We were looking to amend it and do all that, but we ended up getting this, I can't even tell you what it's called, but it's these boards that have these insulated parts and lets all the air through. Okay. And that seems to be doing the job.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So think about airflow.
Definitely think about airflow.
Can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Huge difference. Now we're comfortable out there. As before, you could only be out there for half an hour, and you'd be like, oh, it's a bit stuffy. Yeah. And, I mean, look, we've got Merbau wood, and it's beautiful. Yep. But you've got to stain it.
And oil it.
Oil it. Mm. There's definitely upkeep. Mm. And in saying that, it's just a pain in the bum.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, you're talking to us once a year, it's absolutely fine. But I think hubby's spoken about it, you know, if you were to do it again, you probably wouldn't go for that.
Okay.
Oh, they're really good
pointers. Because, you know, your house, you've already got enough upkeep as it is, and your weekends are taken up with mowing the lawn and everything else. Mm. If you can just take one thing off.
Yeah. The list. No, that is a very good point. That is a very good point.
And there's so many other, you know, things that you can kind of,
keep yourself busy with in
Absolutely,
seafood.
Absolutely, that's
I mean,
right.
Spanish doing, bar and sangria.
Yes, that's it.
Gelati, where else? You know?
Exactly.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess they're the two big ones, I'd say.
Oh, they're great pointers. So airflow and also think about the maintenance required for your deck and maybe look at a low maintenance or for the wood, low maintenance timber. Yeah.
Now, Shay, you also have a really interesting other side to you as well.
Ooh.
So we do have
a secret
side. So Seaford's a very family friendly, you know, sleepy. It's sort of coming into its own now. It's got some trendy elements happening in it, which is, you know, quite interesting. It still has a bit of a boho vibe down there too, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's still a bit more creative.
Yes.
So there's a bit more of a mix of people, which is really nice. But the other thing is there's a few entrepreneurs down that end of the universe too, isn't there? Business community growing.
Yeah, we're popping up everywhere.
And Shay, you're very much part of that community. You have a really fantastic business called Little Travellers.
I do, yes.
Which is, what is it?
So it is a online retail store and we help families travel easy, which you can imagine when you're taking your kids away on a long-haul flight, you need anything to keep your sanity. So I've got a curated collection of family travel products, basically.
Fantastic.
And I've searched the globe to find the best quality, innovative, practical, compact products to help you.
So what sort of products are we talking about?
So I have the Cushy Kids Plain Pillows, and it creates a flat surface for the kids to sleep on the plane. So it goes down where your legs are.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it means the kids aren't clinging or sitting on your lap for, you know, 10 hours,
which
I think any mum can appreciate.
Yeah.
Also, these compact bottle warmers as well, which don't need any batteries at all.
Oh, that's handy.
And they're ready to go.
Yeah.
They are, like, they basically warm as they go, and they stay warm for 10 hours.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic.
So if you've got a crying kid on the plane. Winner.
That is fantastic. And do you have like little suitcases and things like that
I've
as well?
Compact baby carriers, activity packs, you name it.
So Little Travellers is the place you visit online before you do that big overseas trip and you want a bit of sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's your business. But you have a bit of a side hustle happening as well, which has actually really grown into something quite fabulous.
Well, I started off with Little Travellers, which was January last year.
Yep.
And I wanted to get to know other women in business because, you know, you need to learn. Things are changing so fast.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't find anything that fit me, that fit my vibe and kind of fit what I was after.
Yeah.
And I created my own community, basically.
DIY,
We're
all about DIY on this show, so perfect.
I kind of call MP Kickass Collective my accidental business, my side hustle. And I contacted my friend Tammy, who's Peninsula Cookie House, and I said, look, I've got this crazy idea. I rang her at like some ridiculous time of the morning. And I said, look, do you think we could hold a party for women in business?
Yeah.
And she's like, you're nuts. I said, I know, but let's just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we did. We just absolutely went for it. And and we basically just found anyone we could on Instagram that had a women-led business that mentioned that they were from the peninsula.
Yep.
And we wanted a diverse range of people in the one place.
Absolutely.
And we just went for it. And we created this big white party.
It was fantastic. Okay. I was there.
Yeah. And I think
it was very Instagram-worthy.
People weren't expecting the caliber of party that they came into.
We were quite blown away. It was very Insta fabulous.
Yeah, I think people thought they were coming to like a backyard Barbie.
Yeah, which would have been really nice, but this was next level.
Yeah, we had an amazing marquee. We had balloon installations. We had everything.
And you, what I was really impressed about is you sort of pulled together this fantastic network to make it happen. So you sort of exposed me to Peninsula businesses I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, and that was the idea because I wanted the most diverse range of people that I could find and I wanted to include the creatives and the bloggers, which no one had really done before, which I can't understand why you would not have done before.
You're right, actually. I've noticed that. Well, Andrea Rowe, who is a past guest, she has a bloggers network, but there hasn't really been anything.
Not a party for them, which is Insta fabulous.
Yeah. And the creatives as well.
Which, you know, they tend to be forgotten and they're absolutely amazing. And, I wanted to bring them all together and get them to collaborate with each other.
Yeah, link them up.
Yeah, link them up, absolutely. Mm. And no joke, the collaborations that are still coming from that party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not even a year old.
I know.
It's absolutely amazing. And we had the party and everyone's like, what's next? And I was like, I
for 6 months we just nagged you.
I was just going to
throw us another party, please.
I had no idea, honestly, what was coming next. But there was a need for it. People were asking.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing things the old stale way because networking has a real take mentality, that term networking.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to bring out the business cards and do it that way.
No.
I wanted to be in a fun, relaxed environment.
Yeah, something relevant to our particular demographic
absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. And to include the creatives and the bloggers, as I said.
And accessible to people who are entrepreneurs and busy and, you know, they might just have one free evening,
But also to get the women who are solopreneurs, they're at home, they're sitting at, their dining table or whatever it be, and they're isolated. They don't have that one person or a collective bunch of ladies to bounce ideas off and kind of, am I on the right track, that type of thing, get them out. That was a big thing for me.
Oh, you've certainly accomplished that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And, you said we're not handing out business cards and that sort of thing, but I feel like that approach has actually led to more organic opportunities and collaboration. So just because you're not
natural
handing out business.
It's not that pushy you two go together now. It's been a lot more natural and, no different than having coffee with a group of people that you like.
That's it. That's the vibe I wanted to go for. And, that old saying, your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yes.
Mm. So true. And if you want to be part of the community, you can. Mm-hmm. If you don't, absolutely. Certainly other networking. I hate to use that word.
Mm.
But there are other networking avenues out there.
Mm. I think it's very inclusive. Yeah. I think, I know that, with those events, I don't feel like I have to go with someone. I can just turn up.
Yes.
And there'll be a friendly face there no matter what, It's really good. Absolutely.
And I think the people that you do meet, I think, oh, wow, you're my business bestie already. That's really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. So tell me, Shay, little bit back to dream homes. What does the term for you, what does dream home mean to you?
I don't think it's necessarily about how big your house is or how many walls, that type of thing. I think it's just, I think you make the best of it, really. And it's all about family for me, I think. You can always put your own little touches to things and, you know, paint and do all that type of thing. But I think it just comes down to family. I could live in a tent, to be honest. I could live in one of those tiny homes. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
So long as you've got the right people in
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's right.
So wherever your family is, that's the dream home.
I think so.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah. That's a bit corny, isn't it?
No, it's beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I'm an old tag.
So, Shay, if we want to find MP Kickass, your community, Little Travellers, where do we find you?
So Little Travellers, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, I've obviously got the shop.
Yep.
So it's L-I-L Travellers, Little Travellers. And MP Kickass is Facebook and Insta. Kickass is definitely big on Instagram, if that's your thing, for
Fantastic.
Sure.
Fantastic. Yeah, oh, that sounds really good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Shay.
Sure.
Nice. You know, Seaford's such an interesting area.
It's a real gem.
Isn't it ever?
Is. I love it.
You've given us all the little insights and the little tips and tricks. So that was really, really worthwhile. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, we've got the finance segment and then the property geek out with none other than Tara.
Yay.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, only here on RPPFM.
Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the true light. Light me up and make me feel alright. Cause baby, we are always shining bright.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement. We are heading into the finance segment with Carl. Now, usually we would have Carl dialing in, but for the month of January, we are doing the best of Carl. There's a lot of best of. So we've chosen a few. So we're going back a few months to when we had Claudia from the Renovate Avenue on the show. And Carl's segment was about how to organise the finance for a new build on your subdivided block.
Yes, that's a challenge.
So are we ready? Let's head straight into it. Here we go.
And we are now at the finance section with Carl.
That is where we're at.
Who is the expert? Have we found you on the phone, Carl?
Yes, I'm right here, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. And you?
Very, very good. We just had Claudia on our show, who's a bit of a renovation superstar, and her latest project is she's renovating her house, and then after that she'll be doing a subdivision and building a new house.
Oh, wow.
So, Carl, what kind of ways could you potentially structure the build of the new dwelling?
Okay. Is the new dwelling going to be a investment property or to be sold as an owner-occupied property, do you think, Tara?
She probably wants to keep both options open. I can imagine what she'll want to do is at one stage move into it and perhaps then sell the house that she's renovated.
From a lending perspective, they probably want to see that the block where the new dwelling is going to be built on is going to be subdivided. They'll want to see some paperwork in relation to that. So a good conveyancer should be able to help you organise that type of paperwork. Secondly, they'll want to see it's going to be a construction loan, so they're going to see a fixed price builder's contract.
That's correct, yep.
They'll probably, before they start funding the loan for the construction, they'll want to see permits from the local council that's been approved.
That's a very good point. Could they perhaps, you know, obviously they can't live in two houses at once, could they perhaps use a rental income from one of the houses to help them with their lending?
Yeah, look, if servicing is tight, yeah, you can provide a bank a rental appraisal from an estate agent just to confirm an estimated rental income of the new dwelling once it's established. That's one way of doing it. Otherwise, the bank will send a property valuer out. And as part of their property valuation report, they will actually note down what they think the rental income could be for such a property.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Oh, that's some really good options you've pointed out there. So the valuer will come out and look at how much it's going to be.
Yep.
And, yeah, so it is possible to use some of your income from one of the properties as an investment to help service the loan.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. It's a very, very common type of loan structure. You know, it's pretty in vogue these days.
Yeah.
To sort of build more than one dwelling on one title.
Yeah.
But, you know, just depending on, I guess, how you envisage the end game of that particular property, whether you want to keep it as an investment or sell it further down the track, probably want to be clear on that so you can structure the loan correctly and you can pitch how you want the loan structured to the bank so that they get it.
Ah, very good. Oh, well, that's some really good options and you're very good with that pitching.
Ah, thank you so much.
And can I just say that during the break, Tara and I sprung this topic on Carl.
Carl works on the fly for us. He's fantastic.
He had 30 seconds to prep, so thank you so much.
You did
much.
Very well, Carl. Thank you.
No problems. My pleasure. Always pleasure.
Thank you, Carl. It's always a pleasure. I'll catch you next week.
No problems. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
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 Take me home tonight. I just want to show.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement. We are heading into the Property Geek Out with Tara.
Hooray, get your geek on.
Tara, you've got some Seaford numbers and facts for us tonight.
See, I've had a long love affair with Seaford. I can't tell you how many. I've always got my eye on Seaford for myself as an investor.
Yes.
Just because there's so much potential there. There always has been. I particularly like the larger blocks. It's not uncommon. Common to find blocks that are about 1,000 square metres in size.
Oh, there are some huge blocks. Yeah, on average, you're looking at about 700 square metres, like easily. That's just a normal size block.
Absolutely, like the 650s, the 7s, the typical size block, which is a really comfortable size for a family home.
But there's a lot of larger ones as well. There you're 100% is. Right.
And so the larger blocks are interesting to me because I'm a mum and dad developer. So I always like to buy something that has, you know, development potential in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So those sort of those properties in Seaford, I've always had one eye on. So my market report for Seaford, it's a sleepy base. It's a sleepy Bayside suburb. A little bit boho, a little bit fabulous. It's 36 kilometres south of Melbourne CBD, and it's on the Frankston train line, which is very important to a lot of people. Now the area consists of mainly standalone houses, some brick veneer, some weatherboard, and they're most of them are built around the 50s and the 60s. Mm. So they're that sort of era where, a lot of them still have the one bathroom in that time, two bedrooms, maybe three. That's the original houses. Most have been renovated slightly at some stage or extended somewhat, maybe an extra bedroom added on. But, that's the sort of makeup of the typical Seaford house that you come across. Now, what made it popular back in the 50s and 60s is exactly what made it what makes it popular now, and that's the affordability factor.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's affordable. You have the train line there, which takes you straight into the city, which is absolutely fantastic, and you also have the proximity to the bay as well.
Mm.
So those three factors have always seen Seaford as a very popular place to be. Now, somehow the prices haven't gone crazy there. They've stayed relatively even. So the medium house price in Seaford is currently at $690.
For a four bedroom.
No, so that's across all the board, $690.
Gotcha.
So that's the medium house price. So it's still very affordable to many. Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely sort of on the edge of the first home buyer, and definitely the second home buyer, people looking for an established family home. It's definitely got the right DNA for that particular group. Now I'll give you a bit of a, so there's two parts of Seaford. There's the part that's
you know, closer to the bay, yes, that you can walk to the train, you can walk to the beach, and that's really nice, and you can walk to the little shops there. And then there's other parts of Seaford that are a little bit further out, but they're also very convenient to the freeway and that sort of thing. So there's sort of two parts of Seaford. Now, if you want to get into the slightly more ritzier part by the bay, right next to throw a stone to the train station, that's still reasonably affordable. So a good example of that is a recent sale, 15 McRae. Yeah, 15 McRae sold recently. It's a four-bedroom home. That went for $720.
Wow, that's a lovely street. I like McRae Street. Absolutely. Very near the station. You've got Seaford Primary School right there, wetlands right there as well, and walking distance to the shops. I like McRae Street.
Absolutely. You know, it was a perfectly sturdy house, needed a little bit of updating, but it had its four bedrooms. It was on 628 square metres of land.
Perfect.
Yeah, it had everything that you could probably want for a good family home, a good place to hang your hat. So the typical days on market at the moment are 25 days. So it's still selling pretty well and turning over. However, prices are starting to soften. And just to sort of also for that market who are the mum and dad developer sort who are looking to or just someone looking to buy something in Seaford with one eye on the future. If you're looking for something that's on the larger size, like the 1,000 square metres, a really nice one in the middle of June last year sold, number 27 Cannanook Ave, and that was in 1,000 square metres. It had a really nice four-bedroom home on it. As you know, Cannanook Ave is literally two streets from the bay. It's very, very close to the bay. Now that went for $953.
I do remember that one.
Yeah, do you remember that one?
That was spoken about. Yeah, for a while there, that was a really high price.
It is a high price, but if you look at what it's got and how close it is to the bay,
I know.
It's a nice little pocket, that area.
Yeah, we're talking. Oh, what? How many meters from the bay? Not many.
It's very close, walking distance.
Like a 5 minute walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you forget your sunscreen, you could run back home and grab it and it wouldn't be a huge drama.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah. It wouldn't. And you have one eye on the future as well with that larger block, you know, for potential development one day. Who knows, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah, Seaford, it definitely is offering good bangs for the bucks from a lifestyle point of view and also just from a future investment point of view.
Yeah.
Mm, so, you know. Don't buy there so I can.
Seriously, don't overlook Seaford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, do overlook it. Because Tara wants more there.
Tara wants it. Thank you so much for that market report.
Absolutely.
For your property geek out, Tara.
Yep.
It was.
Absolutely.
Now, if people want to chat with you about Seaford or any of the other beautiful local suburbs,
absolutely.
If they want to follow your renovation journey, where can they find you?
You can find me in two places. So I have I've joined Janice Dunn's estate agents in Frankston South. So I'm there as a sales agent. So if you see me on Saturday at the home opens, you're not imagining things. That actually is me.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk anything real estate wise, you can give me a call anytime at Janice Dunn's estate agents. But if you want to find me and talk more renovating, building, developing, all those fun things, you can find me at Building Dreams, Mornington Peninsula. Now, we live in two places where we've got a Facebook group, a bit of a Facebook community. There's 3,300 locals now on this Facebook group. So anyone local is more than welcome to join. If you're looking to move into the area, you're also welcome to join. Just in the questions, let me know that you're moving into the area and I'm happy to add you because it's a very useful resource. If you're buying a home in the area or you're looking to renovate in the area, you can meet other people who've done renovations or other builders or plumbers, electricians. Everyone's there. Everyone's sharing ideas. We're very collaborative. We're just a really lovely community. Love to build beautiful houses. The other place you can find me is on Instagram. So it's Building Dreams Group is my handle. And that is just... I don't know. It's a day in the life of Tara, isn't it?
It pretty much is, yes.
So you can watch me renovate my own houses, my own sort of mum and dad developer projects that I do. You can watch me at Janice Dunn's Estate Agents. You can watch me interacting, doing things with my Building Dreams community. So it's all happening there.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, we would like to give a shout out to some of our listeners.
Ooh.
We'd like to give a shout out to everyone who is listening in. Now, I'll explain who I'm giving a shout out to. I'm going to backtrack. So you're listening to the live show right now.
Yes.
On 98.7 RPPFM, but we also have a podcast.
We do.
So that means that if you ever miss an episode, you can go back and listen. Or if there was a particularly interesting episode and you want to take some notes, you can go back and listen to it.
Absolutely.
The Dream Home Movement makes great listening while you're doing your renovations as well, and you're doing your gardening and that sort of stuff.
You can connect with other people who are feeling your pain.
Yeah. And so every week we have a look and we see where our top listeners are coming from.
Yep.
Because the podcast is listened to throughout Australia and worldwide as well. The most listeners identify as being from Melbourne, and that could be anywhere really. I know a lot of people on the peninsula put Melbourne as their location.
I would say that, yeah. I'd say the majority of people do that even if they're from the peninsula, yeah.
So shout out to everyone living in Melbourne. I'm making air quotes
wink,
here.
Wink.
I know, yeah.
We know you're in Seaford. We know you're a metalizer.
Shout out to everyone listening in Abbotsford, consistently a top listening suburb.
They're trying to escape.
Abbotsford's lovely. They've got a really cool vibe in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Cool cafes, really funky. Shout out to everyone listening in Seaford, our number three listening suburb.
I'm not surprised. Those
smart
cool cats know what. Yeah, they know what's good for them.
Shout out to everyone in Watertown, USA, number four on the list of top suburbs that are listening. It's a state of New York and the county seat of Jefferson County, and it's situated approximately 25 miles south of the Thousand Islands.
Oh wow.
Which is beautiful. So we hope we can come and visit you one day, everyone listening in Watertown. And to round out the top five, shout out to everyone listening in Brisbane.
Yay.
We love you, and I'll be up in Queensland soon to see you all because Carl's family is up there. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Happy 2019. Thanks so much for choosing to share your Thursday evenings with us, or if you're listening to the podcast, choosing to let us go into your ear holes.
Have a great week.
That didn't quite work. Thanks for tuning in. We'll chat to you next week. Bye.
Bye.